put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Hello. Thanks for listening to our podcast, BYO Blanket. A couple of quick things before we actually get into the show. Please go follow us on all of our social media channels. We're pretty easy to find. Just like search BYO Blanket on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and you should find us pretty easily. And then also, join our army of blanket ninjas. You do so at patreon.com/BYOblanket. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up. Please stop being so lazy about it and just go do it. You can sign up for a tier level as low as $1 a month, all the way up to $40 a month. You support us in doing so, so that we can keep doing this podcast, and you get really cool rewards, like stickers and t-shirts and even a customized BYO blanket blanket. So please check that out. Once again, it's patreon.com/BYOblanket. And then if you want to support us and don't have the cash flow to do so yet, you can do so by simply leaving us a review on iTunes. You can tell all your friends to listen to the show. And you can post about us on your social media channels. Thank you very much for listening. Let's get into the show. Welcome to BYO Blanket, a podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute all inside a blanket fort. I'm Janan.
And I am Maria. Welcome to our podcast, you guys. Woo. Yeah. Our guest ninjas for this episode, we have two lovely people here, Matt Michael and Ashley Tharp. And you guessed, the listeners, we met them through the yoga studio. And yeah, I met Matt. I actually met Matt first. And though he just became a teacher, he wasn't when I first met him. And it was, we were both team leaders of the Purple Team for 40 days.
Listeners, that's 40 days.
I was just about to say that.
Tell us more.
40 days is, as its name implies, a 40-day program.
What? No
to personal
way.
Revolution. It's awesome. You do a lot of yoga. There's a lot of inquiry. There's a lot of community building. And you, or not you, I have, like, made some pretty big changes based on, like, good changes based on the 40-day program.
Wow.
I've done it. I don't know how many times I've done it.
Well, sign me up because it sounds amazing.
Also, FYI, the next 40 days starts September 10th.
Yep.
Anyway, so I met Matt. We were team leaders in Ashley, and he was like, we were going to do it for a social event. And then Matt was like, hey, can I bring my girlfriend? She's also a team leader of the blue team. And we're just like, yeah, that's cool. And that's how I met Ashley.
Blue team rules.
Yeah.
You were orange team that time.
I don't remember.
Anyway, so you guys, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, I'm Matt.
Where are you from, Matt?
Yeah, I thought you guys... I was going to make you guys ask me those questions.
Oh, I see.
Gotcha. You're the celebrity. We'll be the great interviewers. Matt. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
I'm from Fairview, Pennsylvania.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a little town outside of Erie.
What is an interesting thing about you that most people don't know?
Well, I'm left-handed. Is that interesting?
It's interesting.
That's interesting.
What, it's like 11% of the people are left-handed?
Yeah. It's like a real elite social club.
And Matt, what do you...
invite only.
What do you do for your living? What do you do for your
life? I work for a downhole sensor company.
What?
And oil and gas.
Downhole.
Yeah, so we have an electronics. We have an electronic sensor that tells where the drill string is while it's drilling.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I'm so interested in that.
Yeah, I can tell.
Downholes. No, that's probably pretty cool. I just have never even encountered that in my life. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, all right, lefty. Good to meet you.
High five.
Yeah.
Left-handed high five.
Left-handed.
Oh. Ashley, what's up with you, girl?
Yeah, I'm Ashley, and I am from Houston, Texas. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I'll cheer myself. It's fine. I am temporarily unemployed.
It's called fun employment.
Yeah, I'm currently in a brief fun employment. I graduated in May with a bachelor's in math and
nerd alert.
Woo! And we are leaving Houston in a week to
less than a week.
Yeah, because I am going to pursue a doctorate
in math.
In math.
Wow, you're a real math head.
Yeah, I'm addicted to math. What's
your interesting thing?
My interesting thing is that when I was 7 years old, I knew all the words to the song Santeria by Sublime.
What?
Because my dad listened to ska when I was growing up. And so I was very confused and thought Daddy's new 45 was a watch. Because I didn't know what a gun. Didn't know about guns. Just
isn't there
growing up in Houston.
I was gonna say you grew up in Houston.
Yeah, but
and isn't there a lyric that smack my bitch? No, smack.
Yeah, there was something along those lines.
I don't practice Santeria.
We could do the whole thing.
I ain't got no crystal ball.
Copyright.
Oh yeah, we're copyright infringement. Whatever. Sublime wrote this.
ASCAP. Don't come for us.
But I had $1 million and I spent it all, and if I could find that Hannah and that Sancho that she's found, I'd pop a cap in Sancho and I'd smack her down. I really want
it.
It's very adorable as a 7 year old.
Yeah, I knew all the words. I didn't know what any of them meant.
Pop a cap in Sancho.
Yeah. But also, popping a cap, that's like euphemistic. It's not like, I'm going to shoot him.
Yeah.
Really?
It's euphemistic.
I mean, it is. Like, I wouldn't have known.
It's not innocent.
As a child, I definitely knew what popping a cap meant.
Yeah, but you grew up in Dallas.
You grew up in the streets.
Yeah, just Arab terminology. Pop a cap. So, guys, how was your experience building in a blanket fort as adults?
I had fun. I definitely, there's a little nostalgia there. I feel like I got a little bit of crap because someone had to help me get one of the blankets up, which I appreciate.
That's true.
Appreciate. It was
that
not,
happened.
It was not missed that it was pointed out, though.
I thought it was good. It was a lot less, and the episode isn't done, and there was a lot fewer fiascos. And I was expecting more highs and lows.
We don't know what's going to happen the next week.
Yeah, and it's not
and
over
so
yet,
far.
So we'll see. But it was calmer than I thought. I
can definitely tell you guys I've done this before.
Yeah. You guys have a good system in place.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting to get to where we're just like, no, that one's best. If it goes here, just set this up here. It's cool. We got it. Don't worry about it.
The main blanket versus
auxiliary.
I think you mean
doors.
Doors.
That's the roof versus the doors.
Exactly.
And we boobed. We brought our own blanket.
I love it.
So.
Oh, yeah, because it's two of you guys
brought our
boobed.
Boobed.
B-O-O-B.
Versus B-Mob.
Yeah.
Brought my own blanket.
Mm.
Yeah, so
boobed.
We boobed.
I love it.
That was great.
That's, yeah, maybe that's the name of the episode. I don't know.
Boobed.
Boobed. Commitment. Boobed.
Commitment to boobing.
Maybe. Well, anyways, guys, on that subject, today on this episode, we're going to be discussing commitment. And tell us, how did you guys land on this topic?
Well, we were talking about what we wanted to talk about in the episode, and I think there are a lot of things that we both have in common, but I think one of the strongest things that we have in common is our commitment to each other and to the things that we care about. So I think that's just what's coming to my mind is an obvious answer.
Yeah, and we're committed to each other, and we have a lot of commitments within our relationship, and then we do a lot in our lives, and some of those things overlap and some of them don't. And at the same time, like, what one of the things that makes us so similar is that, like, we are, each of us individually, really committed to the things that we do, even though those things aren't always the same all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's the same with most couples.
Mm-hmm.
Any single people out there, fret not. You can be committed to things besides a person.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can be committed to your relationship with your cat.
Very important.
Yeah.
Or
I mean,
your,
I feel like poor cat, you know?
Yeah.
If you're not.
Yoga teacher or your gynecologist. I don't know. It's pretty specific to me, but y'all
your gynecologist is very specific to you.
Well, I'm a girl. Okay, that's what I was implying. No one think about that. Anyway. So what, let's just like define the topic, first of all. What is commitment?
To me, the commitments in my life are the things that I care about enough to make a priority. And they're what, in Westworld terms, they're like my touchstone. Like that's where I go back to when I'm just off my, like off my game. It's like, okay, well, what am I committed to? And that when I'm in a tough spot emotionally or, struggling with like, I guess, professional things or anything along those lines, it's like, okay, like what am I out to get in my life? What am I committed to contributing? And it, my commitments are what allow me to make the impact I want in the world.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah, I do too. I feel like commitment is one of those words that you, I use so often that I don't really even think about what it means.
Mm.
And there's a couple different ways that I'm thinking about it, because there's, like, you commit to doing things, and that's not always your commitment, like, what you're committed to. And I think that's kind of where I'm at, like, that's where there's like a line drawn, you know, because you can say what you're going to do, but then once you commit, like you actually commit to it, those are your commitments. So I see it as the things that I either know I'm going to do or I expect myself to do. That's what my commitment is.
So what I'm hearing is that there's like two levels.
Mm-hmm.
There's like some like higher, like, you know, purposeful, like, this is my life, my values, like, what I'm on this earth for,
mm-hmm.
type of commitments or what you're committed to,
mm-hmm.
versus, okay, I told Ashley I was going to pick her up, I don't know, or I told her I was going to get, I don't know, food, groceries,
yeah.
whatever, on my way home, which is still a form of commitment, I think, and I agree with your definition. I think this, the word itself can be used in so many different ways that when I think of commitments, I do think of the things that, like, you know, I accepted on my calendar, right? All the calendar ones, and I was like, yes, I will be there. Yes, I'm definitely, yes, I'm making a priority. And there's also things that I am committed to, like I am committed to this podcast. I'm committed to, like, through the conversation, like, literally change the world and have conversations that are, like, uplifting and basically what Janan said in the intro, right? And then there's other things that I am committed to, like I have to go to Austin next week.
Yeah.
And what about you, Janan? I see you reading something.
Yeah, so I like looking at the etymology of words.
Uh-huh.
And commit is a really interesting one. Because at its base, when you tear it apart, com means with, together in ancient Latin. And mittere was to release or let go. So, like, when you put those things together, it meant, like, to unite and connect and bring together, which I thought was interesting. However, back in, like, ancient times, that term was used to say you've committed a crime only. Like, the word commitment meant, like, you did something bad. And then in, like, the 1500s, when it came into English terms, it literally meant to co-sign someone to the custody of prison or mental institution by official warrant.
Like, so, like, committing someone to an asylum. Or
yeah, that's what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And though, like, from in the 1700s through the 1900s, it slowly got influenced by existentialism philosophy,
mm-hmm.
to really translate to engagement, like emotional and moral engagement, to like commit oneself not to just prison, but like to like anything. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And to me, commitment is is like finding something that really aligns with my inner being, like my inner sense of like this is good for me, this is good for the world. And then doing the things I know to do that honor that commitment, even when they're not easy or I don't like them. So that's about it. Like a lot of it's nice and good, right? It's nice to be committed to things. And there are times when then the discipline of like the yoga practice I do provides like a structure for me to stay in that commitment versus just being all over the place and like having no responsibility and basically just like fucking around. that's how I used to flow,
yeah.
Thinking that that was, you know, somehow better than having organization, but it is not quite aligned with commitment, right? Like if Marie and I commit to being married and then we both just like, well, let's just see other people and not even live together. That's not a commitment. It's not. So that's what commitment is not.
Yeah.
So let's talk about like some things that you guys like, that all of us are really committed to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, let's do it.
So what about you, Matt? Like, if y'all hear weird noises, our cat is stepping on many things.
Anyways.
Matt, what in your life do you commit yourself to?
The top things that come to my mind are work, working out, friendships, or like relationships with friends or family, and really having fun. Those are like, I guess Smash can get her own finger on this hand.
Wait, what?
Smash.
He calls me Smash.
This is Smash.
Mm-hmm. I was like,
you can
oh.
edit that in the intro. This isn't Ashley. This is Smash.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay,
Smash.
Got it.
Smash.
I mean, I was just like, that is really bold to just say you're committed to smashing.
And then you looked at Dax
and
I was like, what?
Whoa.
Yeah, he's really committed to that. Yeah, I am often referred to as Smash.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Yep.
When I talk about
him. Yeah. He very seldom talks to me or about me as Ashley.
Yeah.
Got
that
it.
That is true.
Okay.
Actually, now that I think about it,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard him say that.
When he was teaching his yoga class during TEP, I went to the class and he was like, Ashley, bring your shoulder blades onto your back. And I was like,
me?
Who the fuck is that?
Exactly.
You seen another woman?
But he was like, he made eye contact with me when he said it. I was like, oh yeah, that is my name. Like,
oh.
Anyway, continue. And
so yeah, working
so
out,
yeah.
Fun.
Smash. Work. And keeping all of those balanced.
Yeah.
Balance, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because pretty much any of those could really take up their whole hand and just butt the other ones out.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Smash?
My commitments, the ones that really like drive what I do and kind of dictate what I commit to doing and what I'm engaged in. I really liked that in the definition of like, oh yeah, like this is what you're engaged in emotionally. So what I'm engaged in emotionally is my relationship with Matt. I'm just going to go ahead and get that one.
Number one.
You made
my relationship with Matt. My own growth in terms of, and so like being a lifelong learner in math and in yoga and in other areas of my life, my commitment to learning, my commitment to like sharing the things that I love and teach and doing that through teaching math
mm-hmm.
and yoga. And self-care is one of the things that I have found a renewed commitment to. And that takes many forms for me. And then, yeah, my other relationships, like the people who I love and being in touch, being in supportive relationships with all the people who I love and am friends with, aside from Matt, who I love and am friends with.
Yeah. Cute.
For me, well, first of all, Blanket Ninja, listener, what are your commitments? Like, what are you committed to? I know you probably know it, and it helps to say it out loud sometimes. So wherever you are right now, say it out loud. We're going to be quiet, and we're going to listen.
Mm. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to add that to my list.
Keep going.
What else?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good work.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. That was great. Good job, Blanket Ninja.
So
thank
inspired.
You so much.
I know.
That wasn't weird at all.
I have fun.
I'm committed to Maria, my wife.
Yes.
My wife. I am committed to also growing and learning at all in different aspects of my life, whether it's always being a student of yoga or being a student of academia. Like, I'll just read things for the fun of it. I'm committed to, like you said, Matt, like fun, like making sure I have a good dose of like fun in my life, because otherwise I'll be an asshole to people.
balance.
Yeah. I'm committed to my career insofar as continuing to like do the work I know to do to like teach more and more people yoga, like on a bigger scale, and reach more and more people through things like stand-up comedy and this podcast and making music so that my bigger commitment is then fulfilled on. And my highest, biggest commitment is to be like a light in the world for anybody, to be of service to people and to inspire somebody, anybody to figure out how to find their own like happiness and center and like contentment in this world.
Yeah.
Your turn.
My turn. I am obviously committed to our relationship, Janelle.
Did I mess up not saying relationship first?
No.
No.
You didn't.
You didn't.
You didn't at all.
You might have.
I guess you should ask her, not me.
Yeah. She knows where she's
at. We're married.
Yeah.
So
we are married.
I don't think y'all are married yet, right? I don't.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not yet.
Nope.
Just
there's a contract.
Yeah. Anyway,
here.
Different subject.
Right.
But Marie and I are married. We literally signed papers, so that's
a
fucking commitment.
I mean, there's a legal document involved.
Yeah.
It's official.
And you said relationship last, which probably reminded her to just say it first. So logic.
Okay.
You're welcome, Matt. Oh, okay, Maria.
So yes, so I am committed to our relationship. I am committed to all of our projects. So our traveling, seeing the world, as you're holding a little globe.
I'm holding a globe.
Can I feel it?
Yeah.
It's squishy.
I am committed to traveling. I am committed to my career. I am committed to being the absolute best, like bestest, if you will.
Extra
and
most bestest?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it. I am committed to learning. And I am committed to, like, innovation. Like a rebrand, if you will. And that's something that just...
A rebrand of what?
My life. And, like,
your
what
life.
It means... Like, yeah, just, like, what it means to... be of service. What does it actually mean to be a yoga teacher? And what can I do with all of these things? That's, you know, just find something that's missing, because I think it's missing in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I just, yeah, so there's a lot of innovation around all of these things and what it means to be who I am and what I really want to do and my legacy I want to leave behind. So I'm still in inquiry about this.
Mm.
I don't have the answers.
So, wait, what? I only came on because I thought you had all the answers.
I lied to you. I'm so sorry.
That's it. I guess I'll stay. That's a really big sport.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
But just like to slip this in there. This is our first morning recording.
Woo-hoo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are recording with, you guys brought donuts. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, by the way.
Prosecco is in the blanket fort as well.
Or orange juiceless mimosas is another way to view it. We're having brunch.
Yeah.
My God.
I'm drinking water because we hung over.
Just a little bit.
So, yeah, morning BYO blanket. Super fun.
It seems like the most appropriate time for a BYO blanket, unless you're doing it like right before
bed.
Well,
it is Saturday morning though.
Yeah.
So it's like perfect time to wake up and like watch
build
cartoons,
blanket
build a blanket fort.
Just kind of stay in the blanket fort all day.
We watched Rugrats yesterday and I craved cereal so bad.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God, get this girl some Lucky Charms. It didn't happen. And the Rugrats holds up over time.
I love the Rugrats.
Yes, that was
really good.
What episode did you watch?
We watched like the first three.
Oh, those are really
Whoa.
Creepy. The first 10 episodes of Rugrats are creepy. Because, like, they don't talk.
They don't talk much.
Like, just a little bit. And
yeah,
Tommy's usually all by himself, just, like, getting into some horrific...
Oh, my God, his fever dream?
Yeah.
There's one where Tommy has a fever dream, and his mom is a moon, and Angela...
That's
right. His dad is, like, a cloud, and Grandpa is, like, an old-school plane.
Yeah.
Like a
oh my God, I remember
the one where he gets,
that.
Did you watch the one where he gets lost at the post office and goes through like a crazy dungeon of horrors?
Oh.
And there's one part where the conveyor belt is just like, it goes into a pit and there's a skeleton at the bottom. And Tommy's like, no, trying to like escape death. And then he gets mailed back to his home. In the mail!
Yeah. The pickles, I'm just going to say it. They're not great parents.
No, they're
very
horrible.
Irresponsible.
They're horrible parents.
Yeah.
Anyway.
good side conversation.
So what do we got next?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
What are you guys committed to within your relationship? Like, as wives,
smashing.
What are you guys committed to?
Smashing.
Smashing, got it.
It's a very important part of a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are committed to, well, honesty.
Yeah.
That is, I think, relationship 101. Mm-hmm. And not even honesty, like not lying. That's not what I mean. I mean more like when something bugs me, to simply say it. Not with blame necessarily, but just be like, this is really bugging me. So we can like talk about it, get it out in the open, and not let shit fester.
Mm-hmm.
Communication's key.
Communication is key.
I'm very committed to supporting her.
Yes, that is true. She's my sugar mama.
Very committed. And not just that. I mean, you know, going to all your open mics, even though they're late, and it means that I'm drinking way more than I would be.
Yeah.
And helping you and listening to all of your jokes all the time.
Thanks,
writes,
babe.
Okay, so, and here's why I said this, because I don't know why her brain, this is just how it works. It's like, I'm about to fall asleep. We're in bed. I'm like, right before I'm like dead asleep. And she's just like, oh my God, I just thought of a great joke. And then she turns on the light. She's like, hold on. I got to write this down.
And guess what? None of those jokes have been good the next day.
And she usually tells me this. And I'm like, okay, maybe I don't get it because I was about to be like dead asleep.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she tells me in the morning and I was like, you kept me up for, okay.
So here's an example of one of these stupid late night jokes. This is what I wrote 2 nights ago at like 2 a.m. or something, right before I fell asleep. So I don't like penises. It took me a while to figure that out because I was raised in an extremely religious and confusing family. Like, you know, when you're watching an extremely long movie and you're just confused because you're so stoned. Well, that was my childhood, except by stoned, I mean sometimes rocks were thrown at me.
Oh my God.
Do you see what I mean?
You know.
Just, no.
I've heard better jokes from you. Many, I've heard, like, that's not, you know.
I would not, yeah, that doesn't make it to the top 10, I don't think.
Yeah.
But
just,
this is what I get, like, this is like 2, 3 in the morning, all lights are on, all of a sudden she's just like, hold on. And then she's laughing to herself, which is not, like, it's still very loud, and I'm just like, you're not. Like,
this line just says, understand each other's feelings for boobs.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I was always think I'll remember in the morning, like, what I mean.
And you never do.
No.
It doesn't work.
Well, what are you guys committed to in y'all's relationship?
Well, we are really committed to, like, adventures and fun. Yeah.
He agreed.
And also cats.
Well, just one cat.
Just one cat. We're committed to one cat. Tippy, if you're listening, there's no other cats but you. Please don't kill us.
Honey
don't
is
get
not
jealous.
A cat.
Honey's not a cat. Yeah, we're really committed to fun and adventure. And one of the ways that shows up.
Is that a cat fart?
Is that a bad cat breath?
His cat breath just almost made me puke for realsies.
Oh.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. So one of the ways that our commitment to adventure and fun shows up in our relationship is we go to music festivals a lot. Like, we've been to Bonnaroo.
Mm-hmm.
We've been to ACL a couple times. Free Press Summerfest, now In Bloom. Float Fest a couple times. And this actually, our tradition, other than doing dope shit, is got started two years ago. And it is that wherever we go, we take two pictures. And usually we have to get a stranger to do it. So it's like one pose where it's normal. We're standing side by side. We're smiling. It's
sometimes
all good.
My arms around her.
Yeah. Like just cute, you know, normal couple pic. And we always tell the people beforehand, like, there's going to be two poses. So, like, we'll hit a couple of those, like the normal one. And then Matt bends me over. And whoever is taking the picture is always pretty floored by it and thinks it's pretty fun. We always choose people
bends
who are going to think it's funny.
Like,
I'm
like,
Jersey turnpiking in front of him. Like, my butt is to his crotch.
Cooch.
Well, he doesn't have a cooch.
I said crooch.
Oh, crooch. Ah, yes.
Yeah, it's a fancy
crotch. He does have a fancy crotch. But, yeah, so he bends me over and always has just the best smile on his face. And
it
so
does make me smile.
We've got literally, I would say, probably hundreds of, hundreds of pictures of Matt bending me over at the Astros parade, at Niagara Falls, at music festivals, at a Texans game.
Just magical.
Just magical. So we're committed to fun and humor. Definitely.
You know, like, if I'm not putting any pressure on you, y'all have like a wedding. That has to be like photo number one.
Oh,
right?
It's like a slideshow.
Well,
yeah.
I was thinking it would be pretty funny to do it like just to do like the normal picture and then to flash the bent over picture for like a half a second. Cause we'll have I still have grandparents.
Oh, well, I mean, you can just say it's the new dance all the kids are doing these days.
They're doing it.
It's like the twist, except the fuck.
The fuck?
Yeah. So the face down, ass up. Yeah, well, it'll be incorporated at some point. We thought about putting it on the invitation for our going away party.
That would be funny.
Okay,
and
so that is.
That got sent
engagement
to both my
party.
Parents and my grandparents and
yeah,
stuff.
That's
so
slightly
like,
awkward.
Yeah, slightly awkward,
yeah.
What else are we committed to, Bebe?
Fun. It's fun.
Yeah. Fun. I hear fun.
I'm getting a lot of
fun
yeah,
from
we're
you guys.
Very fun people.
Great.
We match a lot. I'm, you know, one of our, like, it's a lowercase commitment. It's a commitment to occasionally matching.
Like your clothes?
Yeah.
Oh.
We have. And
for
we have
my
some
birthday, you got us rompers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And Matt
this.
Wore a romper. I remember this.
Yes.
Romper. I hardly know her. Oh,
yeah.
That's
so
cool.
That's like one of like the small commitments. And it's kind of comes into fun.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
part of
fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, commitments. I mean, they're really the basics, basically the same for most couples.
Right.
And even most, like, friends. Like, those are the same.
Just, like,
with
relationship
friends.
Basics.
And, I mean,
yeah.
I view it as, like, it's the thing that I say yes to that feels good when it's going good and is very difficult to follow through when it's not going good, and therefore that makes it a commitment.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes communication is not easy or
mm-hmm.
fun. And I know it's a commitment because
yeah.
I'll do it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's for the greater good.
You guys are just like, these outfits are so dumb, but we've committed to wearing them,
we must.
That, I think, happened at Float Fest. It was like, I don't want to go back to the river. We had a tough day on Saturday. We lost all of our people and our tubes, and I think, not entirely sure, but I think I had to swim the last, like, hour of our float no tube. So I was like bruised and battered.
You had a tube at some
partially.
Point. You had a tube at some point.
Was it like you're freaking the end of Titanic, just like holding onto a plank? Like,
yeah, yeah, except he's Rose in this situation.
Yeah, I'm definitely Rose in this relationship.
I distinctively remember like getting caught under complexes of tubes and being like, this is how I go. And
this is the worst where you can't pop up anywhere.
Yeah,
you're just like,
yeah.
Move your legs.
Yeah. Yeah, I was bruised and battered for a few days after that. I think my scratches are finally healing up. Anyway, so I was not exactly in the mood to return to the Guadalupe the next day.
Yep.
But we hadn't matched on Saturday. So it was like, I mean, we got to do it. Like, I committed.
Wow, I was kidding, and I'm glad to see this is real.
It's real.
The
struggle
real
is real.
Struggle's real.
That's hilarious.
And I think there's a quote on a more serious note. There's a thing that I've heard, and I may butcher it slightly, but it's like, if your values are only your values when they're convenient, then they're hobbies. Like, if you're only committed to things when they're easy, then you're not actually committed to them.
That's good.
I don't like that. I, in one of my yoga trainings, and I can't recall which one exactly, maybe it was level one, and I'm pretty sure it was Baron who said this, and it was something along the lines of, yeah, when you're in a new relationship, it's fun, it's easy, it works, it's like the greatest thing, and that's not commitment, because it takes zero commitment because it's so fresh, it's so new, it's like, yay, everything's so great,
always smashing.
So, I mean,
and it is not until like it starts getting real, when like real issues, not like, oh my god, what should we eat, no, I mean like real shit starts happening, when it starts taking commitment, and that commitment practice in the relationship starts developing. Mm-hmm. And that's when it gets quote unquote difficult.
Well, it's just like the pose doesn't start until you want to get out.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, for those of you listening.
The relationship doesn't start until you want to get out.
Yeah, right? That's how it works, man.
Yeah.
If you guys who are listening currently do, like, yoga poses, then you know what I'm talking about when we say, like, go into Warrior 2. And then the second it's like, screw this pose, I'm done, that's actually when the commitment to the pose starts. Mm-hmm. For those of you who currently do not do yoga poses, go do them.
Yeah.
And hold them.
If you choose.
And then wait until you want to get out.
Yeah, because everything
and then
is
think about
stay
this
for three more breaths.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
See if you learn something.
Yeah.
I wonder if we have anyone who listens who does not currently do, like, just like goes to yoga classes often. If you do not,
let us know.
I want, not so we can convince you to go, I'm simply curious.
Yeah.
Like, send us a message on social media and just, like, I my mind would be blown. I'd be like, oh my god.
Well, I
we
just
have a
know
wide variety of audience members.
I know, because it's like, how did you, I want to know how they heard of the podcast and why they started listening. Then it's good feedback.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, so on that subject, what are some tools or what are some things that you guys use to stay committed?
Hammer.
Oh.
Handcuffs.
Whoa.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
That's
sorry.
My best Nigel Thornberry.
Smashing.
Eliza.
Have you seen the splashing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
My favorite. If you guys don't, listeners, go Google Nigel Thornberry Disney GIFs or GIFs, if you pronounce it which other way, GIFs.
It's
Disney.
Nickelodeon.
It's
Nickelodeon.
But there's ones where they Photoshop his face on Disney princesses. If you've not seen these, oh my god, they're so good. So yeah, any Baptiste yoga or Light Your Leadership or even something besides those things, like specific tools that assist you guys in keeping your commitments?
I mean, the biggest one for me that took some time to learn is no to be a yes. Mm-hmm. Just like being able to tell people no and then saying like, this is what I'm committed to and this is why I'm not going to go out with you tonight.
Mm.
Like, that's
saying no, basically.
Saying no.
In order to make honor your yes.
Yes. Mm. And knowing what my priorities are so that I know what is a no.
That's
a yes.
I love it.
That's great.
Yeah. That's so good.
What about you, Smash?
I One of the things for me is, well, one of the things that involves commitments is it's a tool to get from reaction into choice. One of the ways that you can get from reaction into choice is to like clarify your commitment and convert complaints into commitments. Because, like everyone, I sometimes find myself complaining about stuff and it's like, okay, well, I don't complain about things that I don't care about. Like, I don't complain about the traffic in Raleigh because I haven't been there. In 3 months, we may be in a different store, like, because it doesn't matter to me yet.
Yeah.
And so you don't complain about what you don't care about. And so for me, one of the things is, like, if I'm stuck in that space of, like, bitching about something, then it's like, okay, where do I care? What's my commitment? And then taking from that, like, what I care about to an action, that's, like, what puts me in my power and allows me to, like, be the kind of person that I am out to be. And then one of the things that I found myself doing a lot lately is the circle of what you want and what you don't want, what I want and what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So since we're moving.
Wait, so just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
There's a circle.
Ninjas. Can I tell your ninjas what to do?
Yes.
So blanket ninjas. If you want to do this, I'll give you a moment to get a decent sized piece of paper. A post-it note may not be sufficient right now.
And if you're driving, just
yeah. And if
pause,
you're driving,
stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast. And in any case, so the way that you do this tool is that you get a piece of paper, you draw a big circle on it that takes up maybe like total area, half of the paper. And outside of the circle, you write the things that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And so you write the things that you don't want in your life or what you don't want in a situation or what you don't want in a relationship outside or a conversation.
Mm.
You write what you don't want outside the circle and then you write what you do want in the circle.
Mm.
So for me, I've done that a lot lately with regards to like our move. And so one of the things that I want is like support, appreciation, like all of those things. And it helps me. And then, like, things that I don't want are, like, resentment and taking things for granted. Like, and so when I can get clear on what I don't want and what I want, then I can commit to, like, making those things happen from my side, and then I'm bringing them into the space of whatever it is.
You know, what I found is that the exercise is so, like, stupidly simple. It's, like,
yeah.
Not that stupid. It's just, like, it's so simple.
It's, like, a no-brainer.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, when I first did it, I was, like, this is, like, for babies. What am I doing with this? And I did it because I was supposed to for work. and then it was, like, actually, this is, like, it's simple, but it's, like, freaking helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also helpful to do it more than once.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I do one, like, every couple months just to, like, stay on top of, like, what I want, what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there kind of rolling your eyes like, whatever, I already know it in my head. You might and go write it freaking down. Put down your ego.
It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Circles are an amazing mathematical quality that you just don't even know the power of.
Yeah.
If you ever want to know, ask Ashley. She is a math nerd. Anyway.
Yeah, so
that's a great tool.
It's simple and it's like, it's one of the things that I really love about it is like you were saying, and it is like math in that it like it's simple and it's super powerful in its simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there were 17 steps to it, I wouldn't do it. But I just draw a circle, write some things down.
It's
and then I like,
17.
Oh, yeah.
17 is my favorite number.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a prime.
I don't
it's
know.
A twin prime.
What, twin?
What
oh,
is
because
twin?
1 and 7 are both prime. Is that what you mean? What is a twin
so
prime?
So twin primes are two that are only two numbers away. So 5 and 7 are both primes. Those are twin primes. 3 and 5 are twin primes. That's kind of boring. But then when you get further away, so like, not it, obviously no evens will be primes. So
yeah.
11 and 13 are twin primes.
Okay.
15's composite. 17 and 19 are twin primes. 21 is composite. 23 is prime. 27, 31, no. 29, 31 are twin primes.
Uh-huh.
And so they get further away, but there's like a...
Oh, so
twins.
It's one of the twin primes.
Yeah.
So the pair would be... 19.
19. Yeah.
17 and 19.
17, 19. 29, 31.
Here in the next couple of years, you need to come back and do a numerology episode with us.
Can we?
Yeah. anyway. Okay, those are great tools.
Yeah.
Be a yes, circle of what you want, don't want,
mm-hmm.
and like turn a complaint into a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Can I go?
Yeah. What are your tools?
Well, for me, I go back to this thing called Drishti. In Baptist yoga, it's like tied in with your North Star, basically. So in Baptist yoga, true north alignment means aligning one's body along their quote-unquote true north. So that's like the up and down line of energy from the crown of the head through the bottom of the feet. You like sat up straight when I said that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because when you sit up or stand up tall and proud, it feels a lot more powerful than being like hunched over.
Yeah.
And like more active. So that's like the true north line is like aligning my body around that. And like the North Star is, I mean, it's just like a metaphor for like the things I'm committed to, right? I sometimes call it a beacon. Mm-hmm. It's a thing off in the distance that I can see that's like guiding my path, but I'm not necessarily like walking straight toward it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just giving me a reference point as to like where I am right now. And Drishti is a Sanskrit word that refers to the practice of setting my eyes on a particular spot and keeping them there. So, like, I visualize myself, like, putting my drishti on my beacon or my North Star, a.k.a. my commitment. And it, whether it's with my career or my personal life or with Maria. And then it's, like, I look at it as, like, you know, if I'm navigating an actual landscape, I'm not going to literally have my eyes on the star the whole time. I'm going to trip over everything and fall down and, like, maybe crash down the side of a mountain. I've got to actually, like, look around me. And then, like, glance up. So, like, I keep my inner drishti on, like, what I know is, like, what I want. You know, like, I want to have a successful relationship with my wife. I want to teach a whole bunch of people really powerful yoga. I want to be a stand-up comedian that's on TV. Like, keeping my inner drishti on that is helpful for me because then I know that, like, when I'm in the smaller parts of my day, like toiling over a joke that I'm writing or driving to the yoga studio or arguing with Maria, like I still know my drishti is on that. And even though the path is winding, it still goes there, provided I simply remember that that's my destination.
I like
that.
Yeah.
I just
want to
clap.
we could snap since we're in a blanket for it and keep it.
Yeah.
It's jazz brunch now.
Your turn, Maria.
For me, one of the things I like to do in regards to commitments is listen to my body. In listening to my body, meaning notice when certain words or things or people or whatever, either, and I don't mean this, yeah, like you just know with your body whether something is good for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
When I really pay attention to it, I know that something is, you know, that's even if it's difficult or if it's not, I just know that I need to do it. I know what I'm committed to.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that goes into that, maybe not necessarily this, just the commitments in general, is aparigraha.
Ooh.
I know.
That's a fancy word.
Sutras.
Yeah.
What a little Sanskrit.
Just for the ninja's benefit, what does that word mean?
It is translated into non-attachment.
Mm.
And it is essentially the practice of getting over your ego. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And not getting, you know, for example, like I'm committed to all of these great things. And of course, it doesn't matter how much I plan. And it doesn't matter how awesome I am at sticking to those plans. Something is always going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whether it's good or bad, better or worse, it's the plan doesn't always go according to plan. In non-attachment, practicing that non-attachment means just not letting it bother me. In not thinking, well, fuck this. this. Mm. I hate this. And then getting into this whole rabbit hole of negativity and things that really don't serve me because I'm, I don't know, pissed.
It's easy to get,
yeah,
like oh, I have this commitment, and then get, like, way too freaking attached to the result.
That's never happened to me. Can you explain?
And then get, like, pissy when it's not happening.
Yeah.
Or
you get,
like,
frustrated and stuff like that. So practicing that non-attachment, for me, brings balance with commitments. Because there's, it takes a little bit of trusting, you know, and it takes a lot of this maybe mythical powers of the universe and consciousness to, yeah, really make what I am committed to, like, flourish.
Yeah, because I feel commitment, even though it's technically a noun, it really is, like, it has a verb quality.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just, like, I have commitment, and then I
you have it.
Just, that's it.
Yeah,
like,
just,
stop,
like,
working
carry
on it.
With
no.
You, yeah.
Like, that's the whole reason it's even called commitment, because it's that
it's
constant
practice.
Engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, attachment is when the commitment turns into a noun in my mind, and I'm like, but I have commitment, so why the frick isn't it happening? You know, it's like, well, that's the kind of the whole point of commitment, Janon, is you continue working on it even when it's, like, seemingly going awry, and then be, like, non-attached, like how I think it's supposed to happen.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Aparigraha. Everyone say it.
Aparigraha.
I don't know if we're saying it right, but
I don't think I did.
Maria took a Sanskrit weekend.
Sanskrit weekend.
For a 300-hour?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
It was life-changing.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that is my, or those are my couple of tools.
Yeah. Non-attachment. Ooh, is a fun.
Yeah.
That's one I'm, like, very much in practice around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's another thing, now that I think about it, it's like the four agreements. Are you guys familiar with the four agreements?
Well, we've done TEP, so we've read the four agreements.
Have you read the four agreements?
I wrote the four agreements.
Whoa. I didn't know you were Don
in your face,
Ruiz.
Don
Miguel
Ruiz.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, then tell us about the four agreements, Janon.
Yeah. Let me tell you all about the four agreements. That's
is
that how you talk when you're?
I am Don Miguel Ruiz.
Pretty good.
And these are the four agreements. Please don't sue me, Don Miguel.
Please,
I think, is it Don or is it just Miguel?
No, it's definitely Don
Miguel
Ruiz.
That's what it says on the book.
That's,
like, that's what he goes by. Like,
yeah.
That's
agreement number one. Fuck.
Always do your best.
No, that's the fourth.
That's the fourth one.
Agreement number one. Probably someone's yelling it at their speaker right now.
I hope so.
Hold on. We got this. We got this. Because don't make assumptions is three.
Don't take anything personally.
Is two. Be impeccable with your word. Okay,
that's
agreement number one. Be impeccable with your word.
Mm-hmm.
It simply means, like,
word.
Don't talk a bunch of shit, because then that shit will come true, idiot.
I can't believe we ended that chapter with agreement, or with
idiot. It's just that one sentence.
The last word.
What was number two? Don't
take
anything personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has their own shit. It's not about you. Idiot.
And the universe has its own shit. It's not about you.
Yeah. What number three is, don't make assumptions. Pretty self-explanatory. Idiot. And number four, always do your best. Idiot. That's like four agreements, like, rated R edition. Just like, yeah.
I would say that's like
PG-13.
Yeah, that doesn't have
fucking idiot. No, I'm joking. So, yeah. Those things really help out with, you know, commitment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think practicing those is a commitment all on its own.
Yeah.
Especially when you're having commitments with other people.
Because then you've got to be in agreement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Four ways.
A four-way agreement, you
with
say.
With yourself, the other person with themselves, you with them with you. Four agreements are made.
It's a vector triangle.
It's a vector triangle.
I just said math words. It made no sense. All right. Well, I like four-way agreements.
Four-way agreements.
Do you like four-way agreements? I like four-way. I'm running away with this anyway.
Yes, you are.
Now for something completely different.
Okay.
Because we're coming to the end of the episode.
Aww.
We've been talking for an hour.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, right? I know. So we like to usually like if we're not going to have interviews or something like that, like to end with just something completely different. I didn't even think about this ahead of time, so.
I know, I didn't either. I'm trying to think of something.
Because, like, we can talk about, oh, we were talking about this last night. What's the weirdest thing you do that you're willing to share?
Like, the weirdest, like, habit?
It could be a habit. It could be a weirdest thing you've ever done, okay. Like a one-time occurrence. Or it could be, like, a really weird preference.
Mm. It's something that comes to my mind that's, like, not, it's not that weird. But, like, I enjoy it. I haven't done it for a while. But I used to really, 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 really like to take a package of yogurt and crunch up Cheez-Its into it.
I mean, where this was
going. What?
Yeah,
wait, what kind
of
yogurt?
Says. Oh, like the Dannon strawberry, a little, like.
So sweet and salty?
Sweet, yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's just, that was, like, one of the things that, like.
Just regular flavored Cheez-Its?
Yeah, the cheddar.
Do they have different flavors?
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are like
a
million flavors of cheese.
I don't
down like the
I
Oreo
like
path. And,
oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that.
There's like white cheddar and jalapeno.
White cheddar
and
is
like
cheddar.
Most of them are like mixed bags.
Yeah.
Ooh, the white cheddar and the other one. I think it's like, I know they're dark orange because there's white cheddar's light and then the dark orange one.
Like
extreme
cheddar.
Or something.
Maybe. Cheese it extreme.
Cheese it extreme.
Yeah. Anyway, that's weird.
That is
it
pretty
is
weird.
You still do it?
Sydney hasn't done it.
I haven't done it in a while. It's because I don't get Cheez-Its.
You brought it up, though, when we were in Austin,
it's
and I was
really like
thrown.
Like, if I see Cheez-Its, I just, like, immediately
like
think, like, where do I get a unit?
Well, and he sees Cheez-Its somewhat frequently because when I go on drives, I guess this is kind of a weird thing, but I have a better weird, and I have a better weird thing, I think. When I go on drives, like when I'm road tripping, especially when I'm the one driving, I don't know why, I want a bag of Cheez-Its. Like, that's, like, I'll buy a bag of Cheez-Its, it'll sit there next to me.
Mine's
like
hot fries.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a bag of hot fries.
Okay,
all
right.
Shucks makes these little, like, cookie
Muddy
type
Buddies.
Things. Muddy Buddies. There's Muddy Buddies, there's brownies,
yeah.
There's, like, what's the
mint.
Girl Scout mint ones?
What? Yeah, Thin Mint.
They are so good. They
wow.
are so good.
Also gummy bears.
Mine is
I'll eat them till I get sick.
Circus peanuts.
Ew,
oh,
those are gross.
I know, they're so weird.
Have you ever had Chico Stick? That's a weird candy.
Chico Stick?
Chico Stick.
Chico Stick.
I cannot believe they
don't
still
know
sell
this.
Them. They do. I've shown them to you.
Oh.
They're, okay, you can buy, like, the small version, like how you can buy a tiny, like, Tootsie Roll, like
mm-hmm.
a little tiny one. But the regular, original one comes in a big, long stick. It's about maybe 10 inches long. And it's a tube, and it's orange.
Your fingers were not 10 inches apart. That's like 5 inches.
What? Learn your inches. This is 10.
10?
I guess I'm not
hold
great at
to,
measuring
hold
things.
Hold it up to the
foot.
Screen.
How wide is... Well, that,
that's a 13. Well,
yeah, but then
13,
but
yeah.
this is 13.
Yeah.
So, like, that's 10.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, it's a long stick. That is orange and crunchy. You post like you haven't ever eaten it.
Oh,
and it's
yeah,
coated.
It's like a tail, and there's like a...
What? A tail? No.
Ew.
No.
It, it's
sorry.
The flavor of it is peanut butter coconut.
I have
it's
had those
so
before.
Good. You don't think it's good, but you bite into it and you're like, because the texture has like, you know, the inside of a Butterfinger?
Yeah.
That, but the whole thing is that.
I'm not in a Butterfinger.
Oh, anyway.
What?
No.
So, what's the weirdest thing you do, Ashley?
I feel like.
What was your better weird?
I don't know. I feel like my better weird.
Getting a PhD in math?
Is that I'm getting a PhD in math?
I mean, that's... Well, yeah.
It is out of normal.
I feel like my better weird is that, like, I used to only tune my radio or my TV volume to, like, to even numbers or fives. Like, even when I was a kid, like, growing
yes.
up, I would... Oh, no. Even better. I take it back. Forget the numbers. I eat Lucky Charm cereal in the order... Two things about it. One, I eat the marshmallows in the order that they sing the song. Hearts, stars, horseshoes, clovers, and blue moons, pots of gold and rainbows, and the red balloons.
Oh, my God.
And
wow.
number two... as a kid, I...
Weirdo.
That's why I don't buy Lucky Charms. Because I don't want anyone to see seen you do it.
I feel like you would look like a little, like beaver sorting through a bunch of pieces of
just
wood.
Just like singing the song
my,
over and
no,
over.
No, my mom.
Do you sing
I'll
it out loud?
No, I eat all the hearts first and then all the stars first and all the like, and so on. And so the other thing about it is that as a kid, I guess I understood the whole like delayed gratification, like I could pull it off. And so I would eat as many grain pieces in one spoonful as I could with
grain?
One marshmallow. Because Lucky
oh.
Charms aren't all marshmallow.
Oh,
they're like
you
marshmallow
mean the
non-marshmallow,
you just mean non-marshmallow.
I would eat a whole spoonful of
the
non-marshmallow
cereal.
With one heart. And then a whole spoonful of non-marshmallow with one heart. And so on. Until by the time I was at Rainbow's, all marshmallows.
Is Rainbow's the last? But is Rainbow's the last one?
No.
What's the
Red
last
balloons.
One? Okay, red balloons.
I know,
aren't they all soggy as fuck by the time
no,
you're done?
They're not. They're always crispy.
Do you do
in the
it really fast?
Not really fast.
I mean,
my mom.
She's
my mom.
I mean,
would
she's
not,
got this down to a science.
I know. And my mom wouldn't let me eat Lucky Charms if we had to go somewhere soon. Like, if we had to be out the door in 10 minutes, I was not allowed to have Lucky Charms.
Wow,
that is
super weird. That's the best weird.
Y'all's
that
weird
I've got.
Things that you do are kind of cute. Mine's weirder.
What's yours weird?
Okay, well.
Mine is also, like, really, like, someone maybe should have sent me to a specialist, but.
There you go,
you're
just
fine.
Just, like, CY.
It's okay.
It all makes sense.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, I still.
Yeah. I'd still do it.
I'd still do it. That's why I don't buy Lucky Charms.
Why
so, Janon, what's your weird thing?
So, as a kid, I never liked my hands to smell bad.
Oh,
but like, because I have a very sensitive smell of like it. So if my hands smell like poop or something, I would be like, I need to go wash my hands. But if it wasn't a
why
bad smell,
if your hands smell like poop, you need to wash your
yeah.
hands.
Yeah, but I mean, if it, this is not
like
the weird thing.
Side.
I'm ramping up.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, if it wasn't necessarily a bad smell, I would just be like, this smells interesting. Like when you handle change and your hands didn't smell like metal.
Mm.
I don't know. Then you handle ice cream and your hands smell like ice cream, right? So as a kid, I was in a habit of always just like smelling my fingers, like from being a little kid. And I knew it was weird as a kid, so I always just like kind of snuckily was like, and like put my hands down. And it became such a, like, muscle memory habit that occasionally, as a full-grown adult, I won't even know that I've just smelled my fingers. And the only reason I found out is because Maria was like, what are you doing? One day, and I, like, snapped out of my reverie and looked down, and I was smelling my fucking fingers. And she's like, why are you just smelling your fingers after you touched that weird thing? I can't remember what I had just touched. It'd be like, I just took the garbage out or something. And, yeah, that was not the first time she had seen me do it. And she still loves me, even though I'm a weirdo that just, like, smells my fingers in a creepy way at random moments. And then just, like, puts my hands down.
Commitment.
So that's a pretty weird thing I do. I don't know what else a weird thing is I could do.
I don't know. I'm sure you can come up with a list. What do I do? So.
Thanks.
No, I didn't mean that in a bad way.
Go ahead.
So, I sing a lot. And not, like, songs. I mean, yeah, sometimes songs. Because I do, like, when I get a song stuck in my head, it's not the full song. It's usually, like, maybe,
you should
like,
sing it wrong.
Like, yeah, I have to sing it wrong because otherwise it just makes it better.
No.
And it's always, like, maybe a sentence.
Here is the best version of what I can explain. This is, like, one time she got Little Mermaid's Under the Sea stuck in her head. And she was walking around the apartment, like, humming it. But I didn't even recognize it as that because she was just going, under the sea, under the sea, under the sea, under the sea, under the sea.
I annoy the shit out of Janon because, like, I just, and then they get it stuck in my head. And she used to complain about this a lot more because sometimes I would also sing what I was doing or when she's not paying attention to me, sing what she's doing. And again, terribly
and not,
sung.
And also not out loud. Her mouth is just moving.
I do sing it. No, when I'm trying to get her attention, I sing it loudly.
Well,
making sure
but
she
if
listens.
She's doing something where I'm not paying, like, I'm watching TV, she's, like, cooking,
I almost,
I'll glance over to her at the corner of my eye, and sure enough, her mouth is moving, but nothing's coming
singing.
Out. And it's really weird. And, but she's, like, not, like,
I'm so singing.
Blah, blah, like,
but, yeah.
It
kind of
looks like
she's
just,
not,
like, how dare you, like, sometimes the vegetables, and just, like, I can't believe she said that about me. Like, it looks like she's, like gossip talking in the kitchen
to the vegetables.
To herself. So that's weird. So we are at the end of our episode, weirdos.
Yay!
Woo! Good freaking job. you guys for smashing this episode.
Smashing.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us. This is awesome.
You're welcome.
Every time I listen to this, I'm like, I want to be on the blanket fort.
I thought you should listen. I feel like that should be the best, like, listening experience is building a blanket fort and then listening to the episode.
Yeah.
I am interested to see how building a blanket fort would go with a dog.
It would go one of two ways. Wonderfully or terribly?
Well, we thought the same with cats, and they're nice enough. We thought they would jump on top.
Yeah.
And
which is only
they
only
did
once.
One time. But usually
that.
They come inside.
Yeah. Yeah, like Gabrielle just left the porch. She was right here next to me the entire time.
Guys that are listening, think about your commitments. Do the exercise that Ashley said to do with the lot of the circle, where you put what you want in the middle and what you don't want out of it. It just helps out. Remember, when going gets tough, you're committed. And if you ever want to change your commitments, that's fine too. We didn't really discuss that, but you know, sometimes commitments shift.
Non-attachment.
Like a ninja. All right. Well,
thank you,
we
guys.
Will Ashley and Matt are moving away like horrible idiots. So we will miss you guys so
yeah,
much.
We'll
yeah. And.
Come back. Yes.
Someday, even if it's just to visit.
For sure.
All right. Well, I have been Janan, and I will continue being Janan.
And I have been Maria, and will forever always be Maria.
I'm Ashley. Was, is, am, will be Ashley.
I think you mean smash. I'm Matt, and I will always be, was Matt.
I was always Matt. This is the weirdest we've ever ended this show. Okay.
And I love it.
Yeah, okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
These bitches.
Blanket ninjas.
Ninja.